Okay, I'd like to pass out an updated information package to you.
Change.
Mr. Baker asked me to make this presentation today to, I guess the purpose is to bring the council up to date on what was done in the past on the needs assessment when we looked at the office needs of the county, and also to just offer a little bit of food for thought for the future. So that's the primary purpose of it. As far as background, we started this process back probably in 2007, and we started with the selection of a architect and engineering firm that's in Wilmington, had offices in Dover, Studio Jade, and through our normal process, which requires us to look for the qualifications of the firm. Studio Jade worked with us. The first thing they did was do a physical survey of all the existing space the county was using. So they looked at all the existing county buildings and facilities. We met and interviewed with all the departments from the county. That was in January and February of 2007. We asked them about what their anticipated growth was for the next 2 years. We looked at the type of service that was provided by each of the departments. We asked them about the number of daily visitors and customers they have. And finally, one thing that was very important, which I had not considered before, but the architects were very interested in, was the adjacency of the different departments to other offices in the county, because obviously certain departments need to be next to other departments to function properly and efficiently. So we went through those questions. We completed that report in May 2007. A few of the other issues I wanted to cover in my review of this process was parking had always been brought up as an issue here at council. And so we looked at that in the report. Georgetown requires one space per 200 square feet of office space with two spaces for loading. The needs of the parking were not only looked at on what Georgetown's requirements were, but also what the actual visitor loads and staffing requirements would find. Our current situation downtown, the existing building is about 60,000 square feet, so that would require about 302 parking spaces. We have 180 currently defined spaces, which have a map here. You can see the circle. Here's our office. Behind us on East Pine Street, we have 49 spaces there. Across behind the Domino's, we have another 22 and 67 in this area. And over next to Georgetown Restaurant, we have 18. Now, those are the defined parking spaces. If you added those up, they'd be 180. In addition to that, and this is a change from the original packet I sent you, I had 140, but I went back and re-looked at some of these areas where we have no defined parking. We own this large lot up here behind the Georgetown Family Restaurant. That's projected to have potentially 92 spaces. That's probably likely because it is already an impervious surface, so there's no need for stormwater management, any of those things. It doesn't take any space up. So it could be dedicated almost exclusively to parking spaces. This other space down here in the corner, though, down here, actually is undeveloped land and has a number of trees and those kind of things. The town, in conversations with the town, it is unlikely we'll get the number of projected parking spaces we thought we would get there. And it looks like instead of having almost 72 parking spaces, you can see part of it's 24 parking spaces right now. Instead of adding another 48 here, If you actually looked at that whole site and you addressed the existing trees that are there, tried to retain some of those as the town would like, as well as incorporate stormwater management, you'd only get about 34 parking spaces. It gives you an idea of how hard it is to get parking spaces in town. So that's where the 102 comes from instead of the 140. I reduced it for the loss of those spaces. One of the scenarios, which I'll talk about a little bit further down, was that we would build another 50,000 square foot building. Well, if we did that, we would have to have at least another 100 spaces, maybe more, depending on the development of the spaces we talked about over here. The total project, whatever the county did, was about 130,000 square feet. And if you did that, you would have needed about 560 spaces. Now, some of that parking depends on where the buildings are, obviously, so some parking would be easier to find than others. But you can see the difference in that last bullet. The town's requirements requires 560 spaces based on square footage, but when we actually did the counts as to visitors and staff, it was 450 spaces. So we would have had to go back to Georgetown and maybe be able to get a concession for that. Status of downtown properties. I've already touched on the fact that some of our areas are available for future development for parking. But I also wanted to point out that at one point we had we have two properties here that were purchased either for a potential building site or for additional parking. And we have been in conversations with the town on these, and the town is interested in preserving the historic structures there. And there's been a number of conversations as to what can be done with the properties. So I did not include those in any parking projections or anything, because at this point it is unknown exactly what the status of them is. So those are kind of questionable for availability at this time. In addition, if you think that those, when we did the study, we also thought that these properties here, there's four properties we thought were also available. Two of those have been sold since that time, so it would only leave two more. But if these two are not available, obviously, then these two become less useful. So that's about the status of our downtown property situation. The findings of the studies, like I said, that we needed about 130,000 square feet of office space to accommodate the growing needs of the county at that time. That was about 45,000 square feet in addition to what we already have at the West Complex here and some of our other satellite locations. So we looked at four options for addressing those needs. We looked at the new annex building, which, like I said, we thought maybe we could locate one here or here, would be 50,000 square feet. That was options one and two, and the only difference between those two options was who would actually be located in the building. So there was very little difference in the cost. $26 million was the estimate at that time. Option three was a new county administration building next to the West Complex. We would have had to acquire some additional land there, but we could locate the building there and house the county offices in that location. And number four was the construction of a new administration building, which would be about 100,000 square feet. Both on the notes there, I note that both of the third and fourth option, though, required the Recorder of Deeds, Register of Wills, and Clerk of the Peace to be located still here in this building on the circle. The courts are very interested, especially in the Recorder of Deeds, Register of Wills, having them accessible to the attorneys in town. So they would have remained here. The offices that would have moved would have been all the other customer, you know, oriented officers that the county has. And I'd only like to note that I know we've looked, these numbers have been quoted quite a bit, $40 million for the new building. Well, obviously that would have to be looked at again in light of the current situation. Plus, as you heard earlier, we like to keep things on the conservative side, so we would assume that those were conservative numbers, but they would have to be looked at one way or the other. Yeah, that was 2007. There was a lot going on. I know I was in charge of the Planning and Permits Division at that time, the Engineering Department, and we were issuing hundreds of permits a week. It was very, very busy. Things have changed since then. The economy has slowed, and that's had probably the biggest impact. In response to that, the number of full-time employees has been also reduced by about 5%. I'm assuming that's directly related. One of the things that was cited in the report was the needs for a central record storage building. We have been able to take the old EOC and convert that to a record center, which we're pretty proud of. That fills the need of that record storage center. So there's 5,000 square feet we have accommodated that the report pointed out that was needed. Do we need to do anything immediately? It doesn't look like that at this point. It looks like at this point we can kind of work with what we have. But we do want to throw out there a possible scenario for the council to consider, which would become available in 2011. And right now we lease 8,612 square feet in the West Complex to the Delaware National Bank. That expires in 2011. And that could come available for the county's use. Keep in mind it comes available in March 2011. If we were to use it, we probably wouldn't be able to use it till 6 or 9 months later because of renovations and upgrades that would probably be required. Just one scenario for using it. There, of course, are many that could be considered. The engineering department right now is located in three different locations. We have the main part of our offices here in the third floor of the building. We have a little satellite office over in the tunnel and Razor building. And our public works department's in the West Complex. If that space out at the West Complex became available, we could locate the entire engineering department in one location, which would make obviously more efficient for us in processing plans and dealing with the other issues that are done by the engineering department.
Are you all the largest department, would you say, the engineering department?
Mm.
Who's the largest department?
Paramedics.
Paramedics.
If you count all the sewer employees and engineers.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
If you count it, down to treatment plants and all of those by far.
In total, right.
Mm-hmm. Here in the building, I can't say.
Right.
But anyway, I've highlighted the Register of Wills. They currently have 1,947 square feet. Community Development at the West Complex has 2,074 square feet, and the Sheriff has 905. These offices could be reshuffled around with the availability of that space out there. The engineering department could be all located out there. The sheriff's office could be given an additional 1,000 square feet that the report did point out it needed. The Register of Wills would be relocated from the courthouse annex adjacent to this building into this building. Could take part of the engineering department's vacated space. And the community development office could be located here on the circle, take part of that vacated space. So you could move some things around and accomplish some of the issues that were identified in the report. Again, I just want to highlight this is only one scenario. There are other options can be looked at as we approach 2011, but 2011 will probably be here before we know it. It doesn't really accommodate a lot of growth. It lets us fulfill some of the needs we have at this point. It assumes other departments can work within their current constraints. It places the entire engineering department in one building, which would be helpful to us. But it does, if you move the engineering department to the West Complex, the engineering department is an integral part of issuing building permits in the sewer districts. So we have to approve each building permit and collect the impact fees, if any are due. So if we were to move there, we would have to somehow accommodate that so that people wouldn't be inconvenienced by having to go two places to obtain a building permit in a sewer district. Clerk of the Peace, we just assume they would remain in an independent downtown building. And this particular scenario also keeps the offices to have the most interaction with the public on the circle. So it would keep the ones that where people come to do their one-stop shopping for the most part would be right here. So that completes my presentation. I'd be glad to try to answer some questions.
Thank you. Ms. Deaver?
No, it looks good to me, as opposed to buying a whole new building out there on 113. Putting up a brand new building looks good to me.
Mr. Cole?
Well, I think that what you're talking about, referencing that parcel out there on the edge of town, is the vision of past council. Now we've got a new council, and let's assume from history that when you get elected here, you usually stay a little while. And so we may see these same faces for quite a while. So we should refresh our new, get a new vision, Joan. And I agree with you. Years ago, when we were talking about building this building, I thought it was important for the county government to stay in town. I think there's a historical presence that, you know, I'd like to keep the county seat in the county seat, not out on the edge of town. And the convenience of the shops and what our employees do for downtown Georgetown. And I think it's very important and vital. So I look at, we got three good locations that we already own that we ought to be trying to work with, and that's where the vision ought to be. And that basically you have the downtown and anything we can acquire, and you can see it on that map that we already own. The West Complex, I don't think we need Russell maybe to buy adjoining land. I'd like to know is, can we build on top of that building? You know, we may be able to put two other stories on there. I don't know if it's built that way, but when they built banks, I always told they were built, you know, strong.
That would require some, you know,
right.
Evaluation.
Right,
certainly.
But I'm just saying if the evaluations came out positive, I think that there's where we ought to look to do something. And then the use of the air park and the industrial park, we got land there. So I believe we could probably work with those with property we already own and not have to go spend money on acquiring additional property. We could figure out where engineering department fits in with, like you say, other agencies. And we hear about technology so much. I mean, there is ways, or maybe a little satellite operation working here with planning and zoning for permits and stuff. And I mean, I'm sure there's ways we can coordinate this. And I'm sure you can hire consultants that can help you with this. Maybe even JED. Or JED, whatever is it?
Studio Jade.
Jade, whatever. Studio Jade. It sounds like something from Hollywood. And could help us. So that is, I think, where the county's vision ought to be. And then, because we've looked at this how many years, Russell? We've talked about parking. We've had, you know, I've never really had much problem coming here to park. But of course, I try to only come on Tuesday. I don't try to come every day of the week like some council people are doing.
Thank you.
Are you having any problem getting parking place?
Not at all.
Not at all. And so anyway, that's my vision for county government in the future. Forget the $2 million piece of property we had out there. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll have to address that as a separate problem, but I don't think we should feel obligated to go out there and spend, what was it, $40 million or some $40 million on a big new building. Then we got all these other assets here. This is a nice building, and I think we shouldn't be pulling out of here. And anyway, I'm just kind of rambled on, but that would be my vision, and then we ought to get focused and maybe get a direction to Studio JED or our staff people or somewhere, David, at that point, say, that's what we want to do, and consolidate it, structure it differently, get out of some of these leases, discontinue leases with the bank, and acquire that space. And that's probably, the best bang for our buck at this point. So that's basically it, Mr. Vogt.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Vincent?
I think Councilman Cole probably covered most of it. I would comment, though, that I think it's a good report. I think it's something that needs to be looked at as an ongoing basis to see where we need to go. Certainly some issues with space for people to work in, that kind of stuff. I do think parking is an issue. And I'm sure Councilman Cole has a place to park because
mine's a sign.
Outside the building's assigned to him, so it's not a big deal. But the general public doesn't have that luxury. But parking is an issue we need, I think, to deal with and look down the road to how we're going to accommodate that in town. But thank you for your time, though.
Mr. Wilson?
I was sort of thinking on that same line about parking. And I was wondering about the parking here during the West Complex. Isn't that getting kind of full, too? George, isn't that...
Well, it could be, but I think it'd be
Easier to the second story.
Well, I know, but it might be easier, Sam, to buy a parcel of land that would accommodate some parking as opposed to buying parcels of land that would have to accommodate building and parking. You know, you get bigger and bigger each time you pile more things on. So, again, I think we should look at assess what we have. Is there any parcels near the West Complex?
There was some there that's behind the hospital's property that we looked at and talked right. about a number of times.
Right.
That's open. Whether it's available or not is another question, but it was open.
And there may be, I mean, we even have an ordinance, gentlemen. We have an ordinance that where we encourage developers to share parking with next door is some type of business that doesn't use parking so much, and
sure.
this business can use it at different times. So we may see where we can even partnership with the bank that's out there and other adjoining parcels. And if the hospital who owns that adjoining parcel wants to do something, maybe there's, again, some shared parking agreements we can do. But I think we can get creative, and I think we can solve this thing. But the vision would be to work with what we have. It is tough times, and not to come out and come up with these grandiose schemes that are going to, you know, put a financial burden on us for years to come.
Well, I certainly agree, you know, because we was talking about buying a new tractor this year, and the grain is not as good a price as it was last year, so we're cutting back, and that's a foresight. And this county is the same way. I think that we don't have the income, so we just should try to make do what we've got to work with. I agree with George on a lot of things. On this building, I don't. This building to me is only about 12 years old. It's I can remember the day it was grand opening was out here. Mr. Stevenson was just going off at the time. So it's only been during Finley's term, and it's not been that long. So I don't see. We either short-sighted in building this building, or maybe we need to make do what we've got. And we've cut back on some of our employees because we don't rehire, because we don't really need them as much as we did. They don't have the work to do. So we don't know where we're going. We just have to look, and we don't need to spend more money than we got. That's the way I look at it.
But I think, Sam, we need to come to some kind of
vision,
to some direction, because otherwise we're just going to keep getting reports.
And
the reports are going to give us good information, but unless we know where we want to go with that information, we're just going to
spend money when we don't need it.
We're just spinning our wheels. I mean, we got a lot of. This is 2 years old. It's changed a little bit, you know, but pretty much it hasn't changed much. So I mean, it's not going to change. And next time, Russell, you know, if we ask him for a report a year from now, it's going to be pretty much the same situation.
But I think we need to acquire land around these buildings when you can, because the old saying goes, "It just don't make more of it." That's one thing they don't make more of. We can build buildings, but they don't make more land. So I think if you can acquire land, look, if you get a chance to buy some land, bring it to us and let us know about this land. We should mm-hmm. at least acquire land.
Yeah. I did get a call from a constituent about the Americans with Disabilities as far as access parking to this building. What is actually available to them for parking if they want to come in this building?
There's handicap parking out on the front.
Right out front.
Plus, you can use the handicap parking in the back at the courthouse parking. The ramp that connects the two is a ramp. It's not a step, so they can come in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We had to comply. Sure.
Okay, because I did get complaints, and I don't really know where they're coming from on that if we do comply. All right.
Well, we compete with those spaces with the courthouse, so.
Okay.
It depends on the day, I would say.
I too agree with Mr. Cole's vision, as the rest of the council seems to as well. And if there is any need for clarity, we can work on a motion at a future date. But it's obvious that this council seems to be very content with the quarters we have. I would ask you to keep an eye on the potential of consolidation of the recorder of deeds, register of wills, and clerk of the peace. It was mentioned a few weeks back that may be something that folks are looking at, which if all those offices were brought under one umbrella, it possibly could reduce some needs. I'm not advocating it, but it is something I heard. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Well done.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Russell.
Mr. Phillips, could I?
Mr. Baker, yes?
Yes, could I ask one question on that topic? One of their next steps in this would be to notify the bank about the lease. Would you like to take that under advisement for now, or?
I think it is appropriate to take it under advisement.
Okay.
And if you'll
bring it back.
If you'll want to give us your thoughts, maybe.
When is it? 2011, but I'm sure they would need a plan.
Okay, but they're asking for, I mean, there's some dialogue going on right now, if I'm not mistaken, between the bank and the county. We better give them a good indication. So, yes, something ought to be on the agenda so we can take an actual vote for direction, I think.
Thank you.
Ms. Webb.
Thank you. Back on the agenda, the discretionary grant policy, and it went in your packet, but I will hand down a copy for those that need one. As we head into the 2010 budget, I think basically we're looking for a consensus as to how to possibly treat grants now or in the 2010 budget.
There is a general consensus that with money being as tight as it is, we're going to be looking at all areas of our spending. And one area that has come up in the past is our discretionary grants. It has been proposed by at least one council member that be reduced to $10,000 per council person, which returns it to a level back in probably 2000-2001 that we were allotted. I believe the budget committee would appreciate an indication from this council through a motion of the level of discretionary grant spending we'd like to allot for the 2010 budget. Ms. Deaver, have you any thoughts?
The theory that public money be distributed among five council people as if and then they divvy it out to their favorite groups. I don't like that at all. I don't think it's a good government at all. And I had suggested in the past that it certainly should be reduced. And I did say 10,000, and I think it should be zeroed out at the end of the period, at the very, very least. But I don't really think it's good government. And I think it's nothing more than a way for county people to gather votes for the upcoming election, and it's just not a good process.
Mr. Vincent?
I would agree that it needs to be cut back. I would disagree that, I'm going to speak for myself, I don't view it as a way to gain votes. I look at it a way that, in my case, for example, you grew up in the same community all your life, you understand the reasons, what their needs are. You play Little League Baseball, you do other things, and most of the money I have seen they give out goes to Little League Baseball or historical societies or those kind of things, which I think need the money. And I think today, with the economy being what it is, that certainly the contributions from the public are going to be less to help those people do what they do. And most of them, I think, do a very good job at doing that. And I mean, I certainly would support cutting the funds back that we do, but I don't think $10,000 is enough money to do everything that should be done to the community. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
I'm looking at the same sentiment as Mike here spoke about. I believe it's not a... I could see a lot of things. You want to start talking about cutting things. We could say public housing, there's a lot of things, but I think these here's a lot of these are good projects, and I'm very careful how I would give out my money.
Mr. Cole?
Just to summarize a little bit, it early on, I think it was the argument was made that, you know, we don't provide many services in this county. There's been concern. When I first ran, I was like about 36 years old, and I thought that recreation was real important because I was active then and have slowed up a lot. But anyway, and I still do. But then I didn't have any support with the council because, you know, the argument was you start a whole new department to get real big. You got, you know, then the bureaucracy gets bigger, bigger, bigger. And you end up having a big staff and very little bit of the money maybe gets out there to the programs. But, you know, many other places I've been to, they've got county rec programs, and they seem to be successful, and a lot of people participate. But since we didn't do that and I didn't have any support early on, what we did see is, and Mr. Stickles kind of led us that way, was to help subsidize existing programs. And maybe... That's another way of skinning the cat, which as I've, you know, watched this process, I think that maybe that's a way to go, because in many other places, they have the county program, but yet you still have the small little independent recreation programs that maybe wouldn't have any funding. So this way I have been able to fund the Little League, the Pop Warners, and a small little, like a church team or a group of girls or boys that are, you know, specifically in some unique sport. So I think it's good. I think why we got the $60-some thousand is because the transfer tax money was coming in wheelbarrows, and we had to do something with the money. So I think the staff and Mr. Stickles and maybe the direction of the past council that was in majority, steered it that way. So by dividing it up, Joan, I think when they divided it up into equal amounts, it's basically so that I was in the minority for years, and at least I was guaranteed to get my fair share of some of that discretionary funding, whereas if it's all thrown in one pot, you may see it, you know, being steered away from, I say, a minority member. So as a minority member for many, many years of my county council career, I was still able to, give $1,000 here, $200 here, and stuff like that. And it was on equal basis with even my fellow councilman. So and it also requires public exposure. We have to actually bring it up for a vote. So it's really no secret. It sits out there. I know people have concerns about a church this or, you know, whatever, all that crap. But I don't buy into all that political correctness. I think if it's in Sussex County and it meets our standards and it is doing something for maybe the community, it's a benefit. And so therefore, I think 60-some thousand is excessive. I have been very frugal with my money. I've got the most.
Not your money.
Well, I know, with my discretionary fund. Exactly, you're right.
Not
well, that's
your
why
money.
I haven't spent it. The others spent it. They spent it like it was.
Their money.
I understand that. But I still have, where the rest of them don't. I have been very selective as I dole out tax dollars. So I think... there's something to that. Anyway, that I saw this couple councilmen just really just get rid of it as fast as they could, and I don't like that. And I think Sam brought that up the other day, that I was in a CETA program, which was a federally funded program, and I was an instructor, and I was told, like, the last week of one of these years, fiscal years, a guy comes in and says, you still have, you know, like, I forget how much money it was, you got to spend it. Mm-hmm. And I think I resigned, because I didn't last that job very long. But anyway, that would happen here if we got to the point where if we didn't roll it over. So I think that rolling over doesn't upset me. I could live with that. I think we need to reduce it and maybe wean us down. I don't know whoever suggested $10,000. I think the county's grown. There's a lot more programs. I think a district the size I have, at one time had a very large one, and it's smaller, but I still have the same number of people and the same number of programs. I think $10,000 really doesn't do a whole lot anymore into the number of programs and the number of people who are out there reaching out. And again, hard times are tough, so we're seeing a lot of these little organizations needing assistance, and I think this is a good way to get it back. Does it buy boats? Is it a slush fund? I'm sure that it has been, you know, maybe used that way in the past. I've never used it that way. Anyway, so I support, I think, the where we're going with this, and my only concern is how much, and things like the carrying over. I just think we should be able to carry it over, and but these other things like organizations must be in Sussex County, that must really benefit Sussex County, I think is important to do that.
I'd like to clarify a few things. These groups are certainly worthy of the grants, and if they are needy and if they are in need of public money, I am sure that they could receive that public financing through the budget. These grants come to individual council people who they're at that point, they filter them. They may or may not present them to the finance director, depending on their whims, and that should never be the case. This is public money. And dividing public money into five districts further compartmentalizes our county. This is all one county, and the county has needs, and different groups have needs, but I don't like compartmentalizing our districts. And I think it's bad policy, it's unseemly, and it just reeks of bad government.
To bring this to a head, could I ask for a motion to designate the amount for the 2010 budget?
I will make a motion that we set the Councilmatic grant for next year's budget at $30,000 per district.
Is there roughly half of what it is currently?
Correct. It's 61, is that correct, Susie? 61 today?
Yes.
Cut it in half to 30,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I would just like to say that 50% is a very significant reduction. If we reduced all our departments to 50%, we would not have a budget crisis. Obviously, that's not possible, but in this case, it is appropriate. I vote yes. Motion carried. I would ask for a motion to clarify as to whether the funds remaining in a councilman's account should roll over to the next fiscal year.
Now, currently, we do that, right?
We currently roll.
So if we don't do anything, Mr. Phillips, we'll just keep the current standards. And so I would just say there's no sense voting on it unless somebody feels there's a need to vote on it. I think it's obvious that we've just reduced the amount and everything else pretty much stays the same with the Councilmatic grants. Is there anybody got a problem with how we dole it out and what organizations? I see one of the recommendations, if an organization is a church or religious nature, the grant purpose must provide a benefit for the whole community. I mean, we do that already, correct?
Yes.
So that's not a recommendation. We already do that. Is there anything in these recommendations? The organizations must be nonprofit, correct?
Yes.
Do they have to prove, have actually a tax number or anything? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Located in Sussex County.
Located in Sussex County, is
that? An example of that is, a good example of that is the Ronald McDonald House. It is for the parents and relatives of children that are at the AI DuPont Hospital, which county residents do take advantage of, but yet it's in New Castle County.
Okay, so currently you're saying...
That would be an example of that. It's not located in the county, but it has come up for discussion.
Well, then we could, we have other Councilmatic funding, right, sources.
We have we have a county council grant. Outside of your discretionary, there is human service grants, and there's county council grant. Department.
What I would suggest, then, that the new gentleman, the new reduced amount for our discretionary funds here be limited to organizations in Sussex County. Or if it's an organization that is outside the county, that it's limited to participants who are from Sussex County. So if it is a statewide organization that services all three counties, we could maybe say that it has to be reserved for Sussex Countyans who are participating in that program. So
I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Is that clear?
Clear to me.
And we don't have these in writing in any kind of formal document, do we? This policy.
Not in any form.
So I'd also make as part of this motion that we get this in writing somewhere as a policy that we...
Right, that's that.
Okay, so that it's not vague or it's very clear. So can that be all part of that
yes.
motion?
Fine with me. Is there a second?
Limited to Sussex County and it's going to be and policy will be in writing.
Yes. Could you go over the motion again before I second it?
Well, that's the synopsis of it.
Say it one more time, okay. Mr. Cole.
Let me say it one more time?
Please.
Yes, sir.
The motion is to limit these funds to organizations that are located in Sussex County and that this policy be put into writing and we adopt it, I guess. David, I guess, bring it back up as a policy to adopt.
Well, we can summarize what you've done today and put it in written form and circulate it. And if you have any problems,
okay.
You can let us
okay.
know.
Okay, but... And any organization that's outside of Sussex County, we will use county council.
I could
funds.
Redirect to another funds. Grant category.
Right. Okay, but that would at least bring some sense of, because there have been times when we have...
Red Cross is another one.
Red Cross and some of these leukemia things that are outside and are national in scope. And then we sent money to Louisiana.
Katrina.
That was Red Cross. Sam Wilson, Louisiana. Well, oh, that was a conservation district.
That was a Red Cross grant.
Joan, you got to get your story straight before you put this on the radio.
I understand.
I need a second to Mr. Cole's motion.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Right. Henson. If there is no further discussion.
I have further discussion.
If you'd like to discuss it as part of your, if it's a statement, you can make it as part of your
What
vote.
About the county attorney? Is this legal what we're doing here, Mr. Attorney?
Well, I'll certainly take a look at it when it's prepared. If you have issues that you're concerned about that are potential legal issues.
Yes, I do. Oh, I'm just asking your opinion. Asking your opinion.
Regarding the motion on the floor, Mr. Griffin.
Well, it hasn't. The motion on the floor hasn't designated particular recipients, or it doesn't touch on the legal issue. But once I see what the policy is, if you have issues beyond that that you think should be looked at, we can do that if three of you tell me to do it.
Could the concern be that it's limited to only Sussex County? Would that be a possibility of a problem, or?
I don't think that one
Our
is.
Our president just said buy in America one day and the next day
we want to
no.
eliminate this organization because of an internal policy they have that may exclude certain groups of people. Those are the types of things.
I think you gave us an opinion on that.
Right. That is not really part of this motion. This is more about the geography of the organization and the fact that it's going to be put in written form. Any other comments?
I have a question. You say we have human service grants in the budget.
Yes, in the 2009 budget, $156,000.
$156,000. What other grants are available to groups such as this in the budget?
In the budget. There's also in the county council grants. There's a grant section that has, like, where we would sponsor Returns Day.
Mm-hmm.
We have $86,000 budgeted this year.
$86,000.
Which includes Returns Day, which is, of course, once every other year.
Okay.
Woman's Day celebration, minority scholarship, beach gauges for or beach day for the seniors.
Pumpkin chunking.
You do remind us. I think
I do. I do divert them that way.
But you also say if we have right now we have grant requests coming.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard many times coming from the finance department that we've already given through human service grants X amount of dollars. So
yes.
We're aware that we've either given them some source of funding, and if their letter requests additional funding, they usually should have a reason. So,
but those grant sources seem to work quite well, is that if I understand correctly?
Yes.
All right. In addition to that, we feel that we have to have these councilmatic discretionary accounts, which I disagree with.
But Joe,
call for the vote.
You go ahead. Okay.
Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay, on to grants.
Speaking of grants.
First one, Seaford District Library.
That's me.
Yes.
Make a motion to give them $5,000 from my fund.
I have a motion.
Second.
A second. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Abstain.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Nanticoke Little League.
I make a motion to give them $2,500 from my fund.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Ms. Deep?
Abstain.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Blades Volunteer Fire Company.
Make a motion to give them $500 from my account.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Abstain.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And Sussex Central Softball Boosters.
George, would you like to give $100 party in your district?
It's in Georgetown, I think. I'll do Indian River. You do Sussex Central. Then we won't.
Don't they go to Long Neck?
Yeah, you stay with Sussex Central, and I'll stay with Indian River.
All right, $200.
I'll give $100.
There you go. You got another $100.
So it'll be a total of $300. That's Mr. Wilson's motion. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Abstain.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes.
That's it. Thank you.
There should be a way to do this on an annual basis instead of having these grant
Deaver.
Requests come in dribs and drabs all through
Ms.
the year.
Deaver, we're moving on.
I understand, but I would like to have...
You had a chance during the discussion and during the vote. We need to move on.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you. Introduction of proposed ordinances.
We have four. First, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small retail gun shop to be located on a certain parcel of land in Dagsborough 100 containing 1.2 acres. Mark Jackson.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and a GR general residential district for an auto repair shop and contractor storage to be located on 2.4 acres in Indian River 100. That's Hazards Auto Repair.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an assembly plant for underwater turbines to be located in Baltimore 100 on a parcel containing 15 acres. It's David Rickards.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for seasonal storage of umbrella stands to be located on a certain parcel in Lewis Rehoboth 100 containing 9,625 square feet. Richard Lynham.
I'll introduce it.
That's all.
Thank you. Additional business brought before the council. Ms. Deborah Schultz.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Deborah Schultz and I live in Lewis, and I want to thank you all for this opportunity to address you. I'll try to be brief. At the first meeting this year of the new council, you decided to ask the Planning Commission to submit a memo to the council outlining conflicts between the council and the commission. The previous council had overturned several of the commission's conditions that they had placed upon their approval. There had been appeals by the applicant, and then the council supported the applicant's position. So there was a debate going on, right? And this was an attempt to resolve that debate, as far as I understand. So the new council particularly wanted to know if the commission felt there was a problem with the existing ordinances or with the 17 provisions that are in the subdivision approval process language, which give the commission a basis for writing conditions, basically, or for suggesting modifications to the proposal. So I don't know if this memo was actually ever written or if you received it or whatever, but what is part of the public record now is that on February 18th of this year, the commission members did discuss four possible ordinances. And there was one for conditional use approval, one for subdivision approval, one for staff-approved subdivisions, and one for street design standards. And the minutes of the discussion, although they say they did do this discussion, don't contain anything other than a statement that there was a discussion. And then the commission directed Mr. Robertson, who's their counsel, to make revisions to the proposed ordinances based upon the discussion in order to submit revised possible ordinances for review later. So I was curious about this. And I came to Planning and Zoning and asked if I could see a file that would contain the discussion, or at least the proposed revised language. And after being sent to County Council, who was really pretty puzzled about it, and then sent back to Planning and Zoning, I was told that, yeah, they were doing this discussion, but there was no file. So anyway, the point, that the reason that I'm here is that these ordinances are really of great significance for the management of future growth here and for the mitigation of negative effects of poorly planned development on water and air quality, preservation of wildlife and habitat, infrastructure placement and maintenance. You guys are always having big discussions about that. And sustainability of the economy and the quality of life. Now, I think the council's aware that there are many of us in the county who are really worried about the effects of unmitigated development. I think you are too. But here, these ordinances are apparently being drafted without any public review or discussion or input. And this is really, I think, a big problem. Several of you were on the council when a number of citizens came before you to give testimony about the open space ordinance and superior design ordinance. These people had also appeared before the commission during that public hearing, and they'd given a number of them had put a lot of time and effort in. There was a lot of very thoughtful commentary and proposed revision that was given in citizen comments. But the commission was concerned that if they were to try to incorporate any of these things into the draft, that that would constitute significant change, and then you'd be back into the process of having public hearings and trying to get done. So they deferred to the council, and the council then had a public hearing. We all came, we gave testimony. The council did try to do some accommodation of what they were hearing from citizens, but essentially they did not want to do significant revision because, as they said, this ordinance had been years in the process. So there was a bit of tinkering, and it was done. The way the rewriting was done, as it seemed, as I understood it, was to one of the main concerns was not to change it in such a way that it would trigger the whole process again. Okay, so
Ms. Schultz, in the absence of Ms. Griffin, I don't have my 3-minute egg timer today.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
But I think you're getting pretty close. Could I suggest that we will ask our administrator and our legal department to look into this?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. But what I really would like to suggest to you guys is that you might consider thinking about the way that you do ordinance creation and generation so that you have public input very early on in the process, you know, and that you might even consider redoing your creating an ordinance that would cover this. You know, that would be a good idea, I think.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And
Michael,
I have copies.
Okay. Michael, and I won't attempt your last name.
The name is Michael Zajic. I live in Lewis and have for a long time. Thank you for hearing me. I won't even take a minute. I would like to propose that the council consider, please, scheduling its most important meetings, which are the zoning meetings, at times when the general public has more access. I'm a LEP resident and have been for a very many, 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 many years, but I do know a lot of people in my neighborhood and other neighborhoods are absentees. They have summer homes, they have voting rights here, and they have concerns with development practices. This is more true in the beach communities than elsewhere in the county. But also, a lot of people work. They can't come to these 10 o'clock meetings very readily. And since this has to do with their future, their neighborhoods, I feel, and my neighbors feel when I talk to them, like they would like to see the council have these zoning meetings, not at 10 to 2 on a Tuesday or something like that, but on a Friday evening. Take Tuesday off if you like. But come back at Friday evening and do it when the weekenders are here and people are off work, 7 to 9, 7:30 to 9:30, or Saturday morning for their 2 hours, and do the zoning meetings when there's public access and participation, because that's what we want. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for a point of clarity, we will begin our public hearings at 6 p.m., beginning April 1st. Unfortunately, they're still going to be on Tuesday, so you got half your wish. Thank you, Michael. Valerie?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Phillips, good morning, everyone. I want to commend you for an action that you took that I read in the paper from a suggestion of a county employee to make the health care provision optional if the employee has another source for health care. That enables the county to save a little bit of money and reduce the deficit. I also believe that your discussion on the discretionary grant policy was good and thoughtful, and cutting it in half is a good start. I'm a little shocked that you don't have a policy in writing, and I hope that you're going to work towards that. I think I read this morning that you have a $7.7 million deficit. I wasn't here for the beginning of the budget, so I may be off on the figures. But I'm here to renew my request that you can save more money if you dismiss the lawsuit against the state on the pollution control regulations. For us taxpayers, it's a double whammy. because we're paying for both sides of that lawsuit. We're paying as county taxpayers, and we're paying as state residents. The PGA is already filing the suit. Let the PGA spend its money. Please use our very scarce resources for the needs of everyone in Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you. Your criticisms are welcomed, and your compliments are appreciated.
I hope I can give you more.
I will entertain a motion to recess to executive session, to go into executive session. For,
I'll make a motion.
For land acquisition, personnel, and pending and potential litigation, I have a motion from Mr. Wilson. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Could you you need to get a copy of this, I don't
know. Fans. Oh, no, there's a 12 o'clock line.
I do.
Okay.